We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
All right, Psalms chapter 23. Psalms 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Do you know how much I just love that statement? The Lord is my shepherd. There is so much meaning in that one sentence. The Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He takes care of his flock. He provides for his flock. He guides his flock. He protects his flock. Essentially, as long as that sheep is with his shepherd, everything's okay, right? And David, who wrote this, I mean, he knew this more than anybody because he was a better shepherd than most. When a lion came to take one of his sheep, he wasn't like some of the shepherds that just said, well, that's collateral damage, you know? Part of being a shepherd, every now and then you lose one. No, he was like, no, when a lion comes to take my sheep, man, that's that lion's worst day. When a bear comes to try and take my sheep, that's that bear's worst day. Because he messed with my flock, and I'm going to show him not to mess with my flock. Do you know that's how our Heavenly Father is? That, you know, Jesus, he said himself that he's the good shepherd, right? He has to be your shepherd. Now, so that means as long as I am following my shepherd, everything's going to be all right. So why do people run into problems? Because they don't follow the shepherd. You know, sheep are some of the stupidest animals. If you know anything about sheep, like if there's a sheep that goes into the water, or their wool just absorbs all the water and just pulls them right in, and sheep, what they'll do is if one sheep is standing behind another sheep and he sees his friend go in there and drown, he'll be like, okay, my turn. Goes in there, boom, drown. Just follows him right in. Has no idea. That's why sheep need a shepherd. So as long as we stay with the shepherd, we will be provided for. We will receive guidance, and we will be taken care of and protected. Amen? Amen? The enemy, he's always trying to get into the sheep pen, and he figures out creative ways to do it. He'll send in goats into the sheep pen and try and convince everybody that, yeah, I'm a goat, but, you know, I can be here with you all. You know, we like to do the same thing, just stand around and eat grass and act like a sheep. But he's not a sheep. And the devil will sometimes try to send goats into the sheep pen, all right? But a good shepherd knows how to take care of his sheep, and that's what Jesus does. Amen? I love that verse. The Lord is my shepherd. So all I have to do is follow after my shepherd, follow his instruction, everything that he tells me to do. If I can do that, then everything else will be okay. Amen? He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord wants to provide for you. That's what shepherds do. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord takes care of me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Look, I recently experienced walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me explain what I mean. Sunday or Wednesday night after church, we're driving home, and I look up, and standing on the road was the valley of the shadow of death. There was 7 deer standing in the road, and I had no opportunity to do anything but to drive right through them. I felt like this is putting God's word to test, you know? But actually, at the time, I didn't really think anything. I just thought, oh, gosh, put on my brakes. But it was too late. I killed 2 deer, which makes 9 deer for me total this year. I know most of you guys don't care about that, but I'm quite proud of it. All right. I got 2 during nuisance hunting, 2 during bow, 3 during rifle, and 2 more in the off season with my car. I'll take them however I can get them. No, I was kind of making a joke about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, but when I looked up and you see those deer there, I mean, some were some big deer, but the Lord totally protected us. We have a rental car, and then we believe the Lord is going to provide us an amazing new vehicle. So, all right, but the Lord did protect us. Nobody was hurt. Everyone's fine. Zara, she slept through the entire thing. Never even woke up, took her home, put her in bed. She just went right to sleep. Never knew a thing, you know? I know some people freak out when they hit a deer. For me, it was like, actually, it was, for me, it's been one of my desires, and I wish it would have happened without, you know, my wife and Yana and Zara in the car, but it's been one of my desires to drive my car through a herd of deer just to see what would happen. So, look, it's a hunter thing, you know, I like, whatever, all right, I know you can judge me, and it's fine. I understand, you know, some PETA people out here this morning. They were gone the next morning, so I'm sure something got good use out of it, all right? If that makes anyone feel any better. All right, verse 5. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Forever. I love verse 5, where it says, "You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Do you know that God wants your cup not just full, not halfway full, not three-quarters of the way full? He's not content with a full cup. He's only content when your cup is so full that it's running over. You know, we have a God of more than enough. We have a God of excess, right? Too many people are believing God to fill their cup. "Lord, just fill me up to the top so I get enough just for me." But getting filled with the presence of God, getting filled with the fire of God, getting filled with the Holy Spirit is not just about getting what's for me. It's great. Look, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time, it changes your life and you realize there is nothing else like this on earth that can compare to the presence of God. But it's not just for you. God fills you up to overflowing so that everybody around you will be impacted. Let me tell you, I was 13 years old the first time that I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was in public school at the time. And when I went to school, the only thing that I could think of after that experience was, how can I get these people to experience what I just did? What just happened to me? How can I get them to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the fire of God? And I would look at people going to their lockers. And you can tell that even in high school, people are lost, that they have no hope. Their joy and their everything is all just carnal. They're thinking about carnal things. But when you get full of the presence of God, your joy, your peace, your satisfaction, everything that you desire in life no longer comes from this world, but it comes from your relationship with Jesus. You know, it was when I got filled with the presence of God that it no longer was about religion. It no longer was about just going to church because you're supposed to. It wasn't reading my Bible because I knew I should. It was because I want to draw close to God and watch Him draw near to me. And I would love Sunday mornings when I could just come to the church service and the worship would come on. And I would just close my eyes, lift my hands, and begin to worship Jesus and just forget everybody else around me, forget everything going on, and just worship Jesus. And when I would, the presence of God would come so strong. And I remember tears would just start coming down my cheeks. I would start shaking. Whatever happened, it's like your body can't control what happens when the presence of God comes on you so strong. And then what happened was God's fire began to fall in my life and it began to burn things out of me. And that's a little bit of what I want to talk to you about this morning, is that God wants to fill you up to overflowing and fill you with His fire so that you can burn for Him. There was an old Pentecostal preacher. He said, "Lord, dip me in the kerosene of your Spirit and set me ablaze that I may burn for you." And that has to be our heart's cry. Lord, fill me with your presence so that I can burn for you. Until we are totally on fire for God and burning and blazing for Jesus, our life, we will never reach the satisfaction that God desires us to have in this life. That doesn't mean that you have to go into full-time ministry. For some of you, that might be the case. For others, it might be that you can be a teacher full of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that God can use a Holy Spirit-filled teacher in the public school district to see revival happen? You know that throughout the centuries and throughout the years in America, revival has happened in public schools? Do you know that the most well sought after universities used to be schools to teach ministers in the things of God? Yale, Princeton, Harvard, all of those were universities to teach ministers about the things of God, to teach them to go into ministry. God can use you in no matter what field that you're in. And He wants to. But the way that He does it is He first fills you up to overflowing. That scripture says that He will anoint your head with fresh oil. Lord, I thank You that this morning service, You're anointing people's heads with fresh oil. That You anoint every single person here this morning with fresh oil. You know, it's not enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit once, or twice, or three times, or 100 times. The Bible says to be ye being filled with the Spirit. Not to be drunk with wine where it's in excess, but to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's meant to be a continual process. Hallelujah. There's one scripture that I want to read before I go on. Luke 3:16, John answered and saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You see, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Say, He will baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire. Speaking in new tongues is an amazing, powerful encounter with God, and you get that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. But when God's fire comes, it comes with a purpose of burning everything out of you that isn't meant to be there. And when it's done burning, the only thing that will be left will be the presence and the essence of Jesus. If you want 2018 to be the best year that you've ever experienced, the way to have that is by burning brighter for Jesus than you've ever burned before. Because I'll tell you what, you could get the best job that you've ever imagined, that you ever have desired. You can have the salary that you want. You can have all the things that this world has to offer, but until you are burning with the presence of Jesus on the inside of you, you will never actually be content. You'll never be totally satisfied. And the thing is, people that live in the world, they have one thing and then they lose another. They get the best job that they want and they work so hard to get it, but in the process they lost their family because they work so hard to get the job. They work so hard to get the finances that they have, to get the cars and the things that they have, that they end up losing the joy because they're just full of anxiety. You know, salespeople, they're trained to make a lot of money and spend a lot of money so that they have to keep working hard for the money that they make. The world is full of just emptiness with a promise of fullness, but in the end it leaves you empty. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season, but in the end it just leaves you totally empty. But when the presence of God comes and fills you up and burns so brightly on the inside of you, it satisfies your every single desire. There's nothing that compares to the presence of God. Nothing. Nothing that this world has to offer you will satisfy you. Relationships. If the key to being happy in life was marriage, then why are so many people getting divorced? Right? It's not enough. It's not enough. You know, and people, they get desperate in the world and They experiment with things. I mean, they get on drugs, and then they think that in the beginning that they're in control of that thing, but eventually it takes control of them. Until finally their life is just completely shattered. And they're just living out on the street and have no food, no house, no family. They lose everything. You know, one way that I can know if something is of God or if something is of the devil, the more that you do anything of God, the better your life will get. And the more that you do something of the world, the worse your life gets. You know, a lot of Christians question drinking alcohol, and is that from God? Do you know how I know that it's not a benefit from God? The more I do it, the worse my life will get. The more that you drink alcohol, you'll slowly find yourself losing control of your body. You'll find yourself puking at the toilet. And maybe if things get really bad, you'll find yourself in a ditch the following morning. I know that sounds crazy, but I've seen it happen when I lived in Germany, and I've told those stories here before. Now, if you take prayer, the more that I pray, my life doesn't get worse, right? The more that I pray, the happier I become. The more that I seek God's presence, the more that I worship God, the better my life gets. The more time that I spend in church, I feel like a better person. I feel like God has a plan for my life. I feel encouraged to take on life. So people like to debate things and, well, is that really, isn't that being legalistic? Just think about it. The more I do something, what will that be the outcome in my life? What outcome will that have? Because God's things, the things that He really wants us to do, it doesn't matter how much you do them. You do them more and more and more, the better life will get. Amen? Now that was not, well, actually I don't have any notes, so I can't say that that wasn't in my notes. But anyway, let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Carry on with this message of being filled with the Holy Spirit and burning for the things of God. Verse 1, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn now aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. You see, that bush is like what the fire of God will do when it comes into your life. When you get the fire of God in your life, it will burn so brightly, but it will not consume you in the sense that it destroys you. When the fire of God comes on the inside of you, it will draw attention to Jesus. You see, Moses, he saw this bush, and he saw it burning. He saw this fire burning in this bush, and he says, why is this bush not burning up? Why isn't it going away? It just keeps on burning and burning and burning. I have to go see it. That should be what your life looks like. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, your life will be burning and you'll be so on fire, so filled with the things of God, but your life won't be consumed. And people will look at your life and they'll say, I have to go over and look and see what this person's life is like, because they're burning for the things of God, but they're not being consumed. Their life is only getting better. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I surely have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, Behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come before me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Have you ever questioned, who am I that I could do what you've called me to do? You have this radical encounter with the presence of God. You see this flaming bush, this supernatural thing, and then the bush speaks to you. Have you ever seen a flaming bush before and thought, why isn't that bush being consumed? And then, not just that, but it starts to talk to you. Now, if you told me that, I would probably send you to a psychiatrist or cast the devil out of you. I'm not sure which one. But I'm just trying to make a joke. Thought that would go over better than it did. Clearly not. Tough crowd this morning. But he sees this burning bush and he goes up to it and it's not being consumed. And the bush begins to talk to him. And when the bush begins to talk to him, it's God speaking to him. He has this radical encounter with a burning bush. And yet the only thing that Moses thinks to say when God is talking to him through a bush, he says, who am I that I could go and do this thing that you've called me to do? You see, the thing that Moses didn't understand is Moses is not about you. It's about me. It's about my power and my ability that will flow through you. All you have to do is trust me. God wants to use you, not because of you. He just needs you to yield to him, to follow the shepherd, to say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go and say what you want me to say. I'll live for you. I'll burn brightly for you. Come burn brightly on the inside of me. Come anoint me this morning with fresh oil. Come fill me till my cup overflows. God wants your cup to overflow this morning with the presence of God. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children out of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that I have sent you to Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, that they will say to me, what is his name? Who shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And we know that Moses goes on to lead the children of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians, the most powerful empire of its time, at its time. They controlled the Israelites. They had armies, they had wealth, they had all the power. Everything in the natural was in the favor of the Egyptians. And yet, because one man had an encounter with the presence of God, he was able to go against that empire and totally deliver God's people. I'm telling you that God has a task for you that will probably seem impossible. God has a task for you that might seem like, God, why would you choose me? How can you use me? I'm just so-and-so. I'm just Jeremiah from Waterport, New York. But God says, I am has sent you. And all that you need to do is get to know I am more. Now you see, in the Old Testament, the prophets and the people that were anointed by God, they never actually could have the full experience that you and I get to have today. You see, back then, they could have the Holy Spirit come upon them. And even Jesus, he breathed on his disciples and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But they didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. They didn't receive the baptism until the day of Pentecost. Now, the word baptize, we know what it means when we're talking about baptizing in water. It means to immerse. It's literally a literal translation. They took the word baptize from the Greek language, and rather than translating it into an English word, they just stuck it in our language, baptize. But the meaning of that word means immerse. So when it talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's talking about being immersed. It's talking about every pore of your body, every bit of you being totally immersed and being saturated in the very presence of God. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens to you, and when, as the scripture says, that he won't just baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. When that baptism happens, you will burn for God just like that bush was burning so brightly that it caused people to look at that bush and say, "What is this? What is this?" You will burn for the things of God. It takes an encounter with the presence of God. It takes being filled with his presence. So why don't we do that? This morning, that's what we're here for. We're here to be filled. How do I get filled? It's a matter of your hunger. If you were here Wednesday night, that was my whole message that I spoke about, was being hungry for the things of God. And today, I just want to pick up where I left off on Wednesday night. I want to pick up on being hungry for the things of God, because if we want to see this region shaken, if we want to see revival happen in Rochester, New York, and the region all around, if we want to see revival in America, it's going to take hungry people. People that are not content with the way life is. This has been my prayer. God, I'm not content with my relationship with you. God, I'm hungry for more of you. I need more of you. I want you to come touch me. I want you to come fill me. Would you please, even right now, just close your eyes, lift your hands to heaven, and just allow the Holy Spirit to come and touch you. That's what we're here for this morning. If you've never experienced it before, it's the best thing that you'll ever experience. But you have to cry out from the depth of your heart and say, God, come touch me. God, come fill me. God, I'm hungry for you. God, I'm so hungry. God, I need you more. God, I'm not content with the way I am. I'm not content to stay the same. God, I need you more. Come and fill me. Come fill me. Come touch me. Come change me. Come fill me right now. It has to become the cry of your heart. The cry of your heart. Lord Jesus, please come fill me. Jesus, come fill me. Jesus, come fill me. Let me read one more scripture to you. In Acts chapter 2, I think it's verse 33. Yeah, verse 33 in Acts chapter 2. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Now, this is on the day of Pentecost. And he's saying that when this is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which you now see and hear. You can't tell me that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can just sit there like a bullfrog in a hailstorm, just blinking his eyes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, God. No. No. You see, people gathered on the day of Pentecost. There was 120 people in an upper room. And it caused a commotion in the city. And Peter was addressing all of these people, and he was telling them, that which you now see and hear is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, there is something evident that happens when people get filled with the Holy Spirit. You can see it, you can hear it. And if it's happening to you, you better believe that you can feel it. The Holy Spirit, when he comes and he fills you with his presence and his fire, it's not just an emotional experience. People always say that. They say, isn't that just an emotionalist thing? Isn't that just emotionalism? You're just getting carried away. They said that about every great revival that's ever happened throughout history. That's just people getting carried away, and it's just emotionalism and blah, blah. You better believe that when I come into contact with the very presence of Almighty God who created me, who formed this whole world, who formed me in my mother's womb, you better believe that I will get very emotional when I come into contact with the presence of God. But is it just an emotional experience? No. It's an experience that will change you forever. It's an experience that will cause revival to come on the inside of you. That you won't be content with just being little old you and little old me, and I'm just going to stay the same way that I am as long as I can just be a good person and tell people that everything's going to be okay. No, you won't be content with everything just being okay. You'll contend for the kingdom of God to come. You'll contend for people's lives to be touched and changed. You won't be happy until you see people getting saved, until you see them getting healed, until you see them getting filled with the presence of God, just as you've experienced. And that's my burden. That's my passion. That's why we started River Church, is because when I was 13, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was my single desire that I could take that experience and let other people experience it. Let them get filled with the same presence of God that filled my life and touched me and changed me, and let me know that God is real. Let me know that it's not just words on a page. Let me know that this isn't just something that we do on Sunday mornings, but it's something that comes and lives on the inside of me. He's so real. His presence is so real. And we have to stir ourselves up. We have to get hungry for it. We have to get desperate for it. I don't know about you, but I'm not content seeing our nation the way that it is. I'm not content seeing Rochester the way it is. I'm not content seeing Brockport the way it is. I'm not content seeing Waterport the way it is. This place needs to have a move of God. And the only way that's going to happen is if people like you and me get desperate and cry out for God to come move, to come touch us, to come change us, to come fill us. Anoint me, God, today with fresh oil. Fill my cup to overflowing. Fill me so full so that I can't even contain it all, that it has to go around onto every single person that's around me. You know, that's what would happen to Smith Wigglesworth. When he would travel, he would walk into a train and people would say, "You convict me of sin," without him ever saying a word. He would sit down and people would start repenting and confessing their sins because they fell under conviction of the very presence that he was carrying. I'm not content to let Smith Wigglesworth be the only one that was written about. I'm not content to have great men and women of God in the past stay in the past. We have to see a new generation of people so full of the presence and the fire of God and contend for it and not back down. This is not a religious experience here this morning. This is nothing to do with religion. This is about you as a vessel of God receiving what God has for you. And this will make 2018 your very best year. It'll be a year like no other. I've determined that in 2018 I'm going to be hungrier than I've ever been before. I'm not even happy to talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit that filled me when I was 13. I want to talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit that filled me when I was 29. And next year I want to talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit that filled me when I was 30. And then 31. And on and on. It's meant to be that way. This is meant to be our lifestyle, to be filled with the fire of God.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.